Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies. Take it away, sir. Oh, are we getting killed by the internet?
Getting killed by the internet. Oh, he's on mute. I got him.
Get yourself on mute. No. It's still off.
Oh.
Just go ahead and log out. Log out. Did he hear me? All right, cool. All right, folks. It's another edition of the Sunday Rise. This is me. It's me. It's the Midnight Rider. We are experiencing some technical difficulties. We had something planned for you. We couldn't get to it. So let's just go ahead and get this party going. We're going to cover in the NFL draft. Picks 19 to 23. So it's me, the Midnight Rider. It's my guy, the big guy, KG. We're going to give you some information. We're going to throw some things out there. Let's ride.
All right.
Well, that's it. Sideline Junkies. Let's ride.
No.
No? That's not going to work?
No. Sideline Junkies.
I didn't rest it up enough.
Let's wail. I'm being a comment, still got it.
Oh, man. Best laid plans.
Man, I was looking forward to it.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
I will say this. First of all, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
The boss BJ is on special assignment this morning.
All right.
What's crazy? Not only are we doing the draft today, but we get to sit around and think about who's gonna in and who's out. So on Selection Sunday, because today is Selection Sunday. Good morning, Ms. V. Williams. So we got a lot. This is a chock-filled day of good things. This is a heady goodness day. If you haven't already, two things. You haven't watched the WrestleManiacs from last night, please do so. It was off the rails early. Thanks to the Nubian Sumo, the People's Choice Don Rodriguez, and this man sitting next to me, the Midnight Rider. I had nothing to do with it.
No comment. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth. I plead the fifth.
My hands are clean. But also, if you have not went over to Fort Mose, that's BuyFortMose.com. Use our discount code, which is /discount/maniacs, and got you something during their March Madness special. I'm going to need you to get on that because pretty soon we are going to be hearing the ball is tipped and there you are. And you need to have something nice and tasty in your hand while you're watching that championship game. So make sure you go to BuyFortMose.com. Use our discount code, which is Maniacs, and get you a tasty beverage. All right?
Hold on for one. Let me see something here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Hold on. I'm not going to experiment today.
But I got something. Is everybody else?
I'm going to get me a mic. I got me a mic. I'm going to use my mic next on Tuesday. Tuesday night, the debut of the mic.
Best Buy. I stopped using mine.
I did. What? I got one. I got quality here, buddy.
Yeah.
Riseo or whatever it is. Yeah, I got a quality mic. It just never seemed like I need to use it because the StreamYard mic is fine.
Yeah, I stopped using my mic because it picked up everything.
Right.
When I say everything, like I'm in the front of the house, they were in the back of the house talking, and it picked it all up.
Yeah.
The whole conversation.
I got you.
I was like, oh, no, I can't use that. I said, I got to use that when I go on the road. Yeah, I'll use it then. But
you know, we gotta still do a studio show.
Yes.
That's that might be the day we break out the mics.
Most definitely. All right. We starting with pick number 23. We're gonna go 23 through 19. So here we are at the Minnesota Vikings. You are now on the clock. They just acquired this pick from the Houston Texans. Minnesota has a lot of holes to fill. The loss of Kirk Cousins really is going to hurt. Bringing in Sam Darnold is – Sam Darnold's no Kirk Cousins. Let's just be honest about that.
It's stopgap.
They also need an edge rusher, a guard, linebackers, and defensive tackle. Any names stand out to you that they could pick down here at 23?
I'm gonna say the most obvious name in at this point, and it's two names because we don't know which one is which. And when I say that, we're at this point in the draft where let's say the pundits have this right, and somehow the three quarterbacks go off the board. Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jalen Daniels, right? So to say that happens, and now we're going through the draft, and somehow the Broncos or somebody, they pick up J.J. McCarthy because they rode the hype train, believed the hype train, and decided to invest in this young man. So we're getting to the point where the fifth and sixth guy become opportunities. And the way this offseason has moved, because let's talk about real quick before we can get into Minnesota, let's talk about the last week where Russ goes to Pittsburgh. Justin Fields is in Pittsburgh now. And Russ is only being paid $1.2 million. Justin Fields was basically traded for – shoot, he was traded for less than Daniel Gafford. They didn't even get a bag of Doritos. They got, like, Nihilators and some Funyuns. Just for Justin Fields – and if we look at the history, I mean, Sam Howell was traded for more, or the Commanders got more for Howell. The Patriots got more for Mac Jones. And again, when the market gets suppressed, things like this just have to happen because they just had to get them off the roster. So now we get back to Minnesota and focus on Minnesota, right? So we got two names, and both of these names have been in the Midnight Rider top five college quarterback list the whole year, or not the whole year, one whole year, one every now and then. So one is the guy from Oregon, Bo Nix, right? The other guy is Michael Penix Jr. Gotta have that big Penix energy, baby. The kicker is, or the key is Minnesota actually going to still be here when we get to draft day? That's the more important question, because I think this acquisition was made so Minnesota can maybe go from, because the other pick is at 11, go from 11 to 8 or 11 to 9, somewhere like that. So maybe they can get in front of somebody to get the quarterback that they want. And maybe they want J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. So I don't know if Minnesota picks here, but if they do, I got them taking the quarterback. And if they don't take the quarterback, this is a prime situation for them to take either offensive lineman. They may have to drive, honestly, KG, you might have to take a wide receiver. And I know it's not on their needs list, but sometimes you got to layer talent because you got to expect talent to be gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is Justin Jefferson supposedly turned down a $30 million a year deal from the Vikings because he doesn't know what his quarterback situation is. And he wants to be moved because this is the last year of his deal. So the question becomes, does he stay? Does he leave? And this is a very wide receiver rich draft. So is this a situation where they take a wide receiver to kind of cushion the blow for losing Justin Jefferson? Right? These are all the things. If we're in the – oh, I'm sorry. You know what I didn't do? I didn't put my GM hat on. I'm sorry.
We got halfway through this without the GM hat. So, yeah, so this is the situation we were looking at. So now let's go. So you got the option of a Keon Coleman at wide receiver. You have offensive lineman like Tyler Guyton. Another guy that might be in this situation is Graham Barton. Graham Barton is a kid from Duke that we've talked about a couple times that can play anywhere across the offensive line. The only other option I can see them doing is they may go Byron Murphy, and I've said this name last week, the Texas D tackle. Those are our options right now if we're Minnesota. So that's what I think is possible. Another name is Jackson Powers Johnson. He's a center from Oregon, but most time with a center, if you know like Russ Grimm and those guys, if you can play center, you can play guard. So you might put a guy there. So, because we know that I think it's Bradbury is the center for the Vikings right now, the kid out of NC State, and he's got an injury history. So it might be a thing where you put Powers or Barton at guard, and then if he gets hurt, then you just slide the guy right over, you know, something Ron Rivera likes, position flex. And that might be something we get in this scenario. Anything else you want from me, KG, on this?
I think you hit it on all points. Matt said exactly what I was thinking. I'm not sure what the Vikings are trying to do. They seem to not know either.
They do know. I think the Vikings just, they're doing it begrudgingly. The Vikings know they have to kind of reset this roster. They got too far in with Cook. I wanted to call him Quinn Cook. I apologize. I know his name is not Quinn Cook. But they got too far with Cook where they couldn't do anything with him. They couldn't get any value for him. So you let him go. You read well last year with Alex Matheson, and he's not a dynamic back at all. So let's just go ahead and put it in the coffers that maybe in the third round when they come back on the clock, we might be seeing a guy like a Trey Benson, a Jonathan Brooks, a Marshawn Lloyd in that situation going to them as their running back of the future. And if I'm them, I think I'm taking two running backs in this draft because you don't have anything in the coffers.
Even though you're picking at 11 as well, and you're picking at 23, if you don't get your QB at 11, because mm-hmm. he may not be rated, you know, he may be a 15 to 32 guy.
No. You know the rule. You gotta get yours when you can get it.
True, but here's the thing. Now you got a chance, and if you have a chance to get a stud D tackle at 11, you get that stud D tackle first, and then you come back at 23 and you pick a Bo Nix, you pick a Michael Penix, and I think both of those guys are gonna have pretty damn good careers.
But the problem is, you're dealing with ifs and buts, and that's not a good situation to be in. Well, like, if you believe in that quarterback, you take that quarterback the first opportunity you get to take a quarterback. You don't wait.
And, see, they don't do it in real life, but, you know, with Madden, you know what they would do? You reach for this player.
I don't care. I don't care about that part. Because if I believe that that's my quarterback, I got to get my quarterback. We talked about this either last week or the week before when I talked about Daniel Jones being drafted at 6.
And I feel that they reached.
It doesn't matter. You got to ensure you get your guy because you don't know what's going to play out until you get your next pick. You don't want to have your fate decided by uncertainty.
I think Washington made them pick Daniel Jones because Washington was on the hype train of Daniel Jones about picking him. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, we were like, yeah, we're good. But still, it's the same reason Baker got taken one overall by Cleveland because Baker was their guy.
Yeah.
I still say to this day that I thought they should have taken Barkley at one and then taken Baker at 3, because I think they had 1 and 3 that year, or 1 and 4, something like that.
But who picks the running back first? Running backs don't get picked first no more.
I understand that. And I love how you just threw that back in my face because you know that's something where I devalue the position. But in that year, that was the only other player that was highly rated enough to be in that position. And you weren't going to trade out of it because you didn't have the opportunity to trade out of it.
Now, switching gears and speaking of which, next up on the clock is the Philadelphia Eagles. And you speak about Barkley. Saquon is a Philadelphia Eagle now with the departure of DeAndre Swift. Wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, and edge. I believe they address running back for the most part. At 22, who could they get to fill one of these spots?
So they took care of quarterback by getting Kenny Pickett as the backup for Jalen Hurts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get D tackle again. I'm just going to keep saying the name Byron Murphy because we're in this wheelhouse where he's going to get picked. I think the other two names that are going to be more important, because I think Philly has to get more athletic in the secondary. This is where we get the sequel to Jason Sehorn. Cooper DeJean is a guy that comes up in a lot of the conversations around this pick. And he ran a good time in the combine. Another guy that would come up in this situation is Quinyon Mitchell, the kid from Toledo that stole the combine. Like, those are two guys that could be corners in this situation because I think we saw Bradbury on his last legs last year, and that hurt Philly. The other part that hurts Philly is, and I think their safeties, I'm not going to say their safeties. I'm going to say they have a guy named Reed Blankenship, right? Blankenship is very cerebral. If he was in Washington, he'd probably wear 37 and have Doughty on his back because he doesn't have the foot speed to be dynamic in coverage, but he does all the things with his smarts and his intelligence to be able to make plays at the line of scrimmage in the box. And I think that's where Philly struggled last year is because they didn't have another safety to go in space. So that's why they ended up picking up Chauncey Gardner-Johnson again, who Gardner-Johnson is infamous for being online when he left Philly, saying how obnoxious the fans were. And now he had to kind of retract and retrace his steps because he had to come back with his tail between his legs, right? So that's another guy. Another guy that I think about in this scenario, even though you have Brown and you got Devontae Smith, maybe you draft a kid like a Brian Thomas Jr., another big athletic wide receiver to add to the mix to make this offense a little bit more dynamic. Because you're not going to draft a lineman because you've been layering the offensive line the last couple of years. So you just re-signed Landon Dickerson. You lose Jason Kelce, but his replacement is Cam Jurgens, a guy that Kelce actually helped you pick out of Alabama in the draft. You've got, of course, Lane Johnson and the Australian kid as your tackles. So they're set at offensive line. And so maybe we see them in the second, third round draft another kid to put in the mix to help layer their talent on the offensive line. Defensively, they've added their edges, so I don't think they need any of that because they took care of that in free agency. So we're talking about either linebacker, and this draft doesn't have a linebacker that is impactful enough from a draft standpoint that you're going to draft in the first round. You're not drafting a linebacker in this draft until middle of the second, maybe late second, early third. So you're going to get guys coming off the board at that point in time. And a name that might be familiar to people from Philly is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. from Clemson. He's going to be a popular name. So he's going to be a guy, day two guy. Another name is Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. Another guy, because here's the guy that they compare to Luke Kuechly, Peyton Wilson from NC State. I think he may have to add a little bit of weight because I think he's 6'4", 230. So he may have to add a couple pounds to his frame. Because he's had durability issues, but he's a guy that they consider a heady defensive player that can run your defense for you. So these are the scenarios we're talking about for Philly. And I don't mean to always jump into the other rounds, but
We want to give you as much coverage and as many options as possible.
Matt says Philly's in a great spot to take the best available for a position of need. I think so. I think when you get to that 20 to 25, you still got some talent, but I think you can fill needs. You're not, I don't want to say you're not going to get an impactful player that low, because that's a lie. Because you can get an impactful player in the fifth and sixth round. So, you know, it's just all about fit, work ethic, and everything else. But I agree with that. Antonio Boone says, did I miss the Justin Fields convo? Not yet, because I got to get on the Midnight Rider about something he said, and I need a clarification. So, not yet. Not yet.
But let's not ignore the elephant in the room in Philly's case. Howie Roseman, the last 3 years, has been a genius and masterful in putting this team in position to draft the players they drafted, and then use the capital they got in return to make this team better. You know, you end up with two picks a couple years ago, you trade one of those picks, and you end up with A.J. Brown. You know, you draft a kid like Devontae Smith. Like, Philly's just been doing little things. And I think the other, you know what? I forgot a name. It's a corner from Alabama. I think his name is Terrion Arnold. That he's going to have to fall. But if he falls and he's there, he might be the pick here in this scenario, because they need a corner. I think last year, if you watched Bradbury and Darius Slay, you saw some deficiencies. They also lost Avondre Maddox, or they cut him, so they don't have their slot corner anymore. So Philly's going to need probably a corner somewhere in this draft as well. And I don't know if that was in their list of needs or not, but that's another place to look at, because, again, they do a good job of layering talent to kind of help when somebody has to go contract-wise.
And cornerback was actually – that was number two on the list – number three on the list behind wide receiver and running back. moving over – well, moving up, I should say, to the number 21 pick, Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins on the clock.
I know what you're doing here.
What am I doing?
Because every time you talk about Miami Dolphins, you sing that song, because I told you it was the Houston Oilers song, and you had to prove me wrong by saying it's the Miami Dolphins song. I got you.
But I always sing the Miami Dolphins theme song.
Okay.
If a team has a theme song or something, I always try to pay homage to that fan base and sing their theme song, man.
All right, it's cool.
What do you mean, bro? What are we doing here? I can't put a quarter in the bucket for that one, because that was me saying it.
Nah, that's two. Boom, boom.
Okay. That mean we up to what? We up to 575, because we was at 550 last night. We up to 575.
Nah, we had six then.
You're absolutely right, because we was at 525. We had six. Their biggest needs are inside offensive lineman, safety, wide receiver, defensive tackle, and tight end. Wide receiver, you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle. I believe they signed Gabe Davis.
Nah, he's in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, okay, no, they didn't get Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding why. I mean, why would that be a pressing need? You can get you a wide receiver. They can get Michael Thomas on a veteran's minimum right now.
You don't want a Michael Thomas on this team. What they're gonna do is they'll draft, because this, again, we're in the age now where wide receivers, because of these 7-on-7 camps, because of all these things these kids do in the summer, these wide receivers become they're more equipped now than they ever been to play football immediately. So you're going to draft a kid third, fourth round, much later, get some value from when the kid's taken, and that you'll add that kid to your lineup, and hopefully he can stick. And if he doesn't stick, you use the third rounder or fourth rounder. I don't see Miami going wide receiver here in this scenario at all. And I don't see them going – I really don't think they're going to go guard, because
I just don't think there's a guard that's in this mix. The only person I can see is if they want to take a guy like Troy Faltanu out of Washington. Like, he may have short arms. He's a tackle listed. He's listed as a tackle. But if he's one of those guys where they question his arm length, he might become a good guard. So he's the type of guy that you might take in this scenario. But they just lost Christian Wilkins to the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think D-tackle is going to be high on their board. And where there's a guy from Illinois, and Illinois has been sneaky the last 3 or 4 years with this influx of defensive talent from that school. And there's a kid that's at Illinois right now, Johnny Newton, who I think would be a perfect replacement for Christian Wilkins in this case. The only thing you don't get from Johnny Newton, and I don't know the kid personally, is the entertainment value that Christian Wilkins brought to the table with the way he talked trash and he was just always laughing and joking around. So I don't know if Johnny Newton has that club in his bag, and if he does, then it's a perfect switch over. But otherwise, I still think of him as a great replacement for Christian Wilkins in this scenario.
Now, here's something that I think this is missing off of this list with Miami. And I'm not saying first round, but quarterback. You need a quality quarterback as a backup. And everybody was trading for quarterbacks, you know, Kenny Pickett. How many quarterback, man, in the last week, we had so many quarterbacks move, and they were young guys. None of the elder statesmen, it was always young guys that moved. You know, some still on rookie deals. And Miami didn't make a move for a veteran or, you know, a Jacoby Brissett, a Josh Dobbs. Now, and Josh Dobbs still out there, if I'm not mistaken. But they got to have somebody like that, because Tua, the last 2 years, took a lot of hits and he missed a few games. And him missing those games kind of hurt a lot. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, that may seem kind of weird, but it hurt, because Miami started out up here, especially after that Denver game. They were Super Bowl contenders. They went from Super Bowl contender to pretender, and they went from on the list of the Arrive Five to not even sniffing the list, not even honorable mention, because they fell off so hard. But something that I said early in the season, I said, after week 8, you're going to really see who Miami really is. And they fell off. They like a rapper that came out with a double platinum album with his debut. And then when it was time for the follow-up, you drop hot garbage that nobody's feeling. You decided to change your style, you know? So I think Miami should be looking at a young quarterback later in the draft to groom and to have as a backup. They say they need D tackle, tight end prospects. You got a tight end prospect that they could probably pick that's a first round talent?
Not really, because I think the best talent at tight end is the kid Brock Bowers from Georgia. And if he makes it this far, then Miami should run the card to the table. They should have Usain Bolt run the card to the table if Bowers is here at this point in time. But I think Bowers is going to go a lot earlier than this. If Bowers makes it out of the top 15, I will be shocked. And, of course, we can always be shocked, because last year we were shocked that Christian Gonzalez was there when the Commanders were on the board.
Before we go on to the next pick, let me get this out the way. Draft night is on Thursday. That's the night of our show. I guess we'll go later than normal, so we're doing the draft as usual.
Well, the Commanders pick at 2, so.
Yeah, so, you know, we got the first half of the show, and then that'll be the second half. We'll discuss the pick, and we're done.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
So expect that. Next up, Aaron Boone. Aaron, I hope you're still here. Antonio Boone, I'm sorry. Aaron Boone was my my manager in New York at one point in time, you know. Antonio, I hope you're still here, because here we go. Pittsburgh Steelers, you are now on the clock. Now, Antonio said something that had to be addressed, and it does need to be addressed. Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. And I said I had to get on the midnight ride about this, because midnight, Perry said it, this is an internship. And the midnight rider said, no, this is a competition. Nope. You got Russ for 1 year. Justin Fields got a new scenery. He's going to sit behind a consummate pro. One thing about Russell Wilson, he's an NFL player. The way he carries himself, the way he preps for games, he's an NFL player. And I've been saying this for years. You guys told me, you and the boss, BJ, told me that it doesn't exist like that anymore, where you have a veteran or an older guy that takes the young puppies under the wing and show them the ropes of how, not just on the field, but off the field, how to navigate being an NFL player, how to have a long career. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Justin Fields won't come into town and he's going to live with Russ and Sierra and the kids for, you know, months, like David Robinson did with Tim Duncan. You know, not saying that's going to happen, because this day and age, in the age of COVID, you can't do that. But I think him and Russ are going to be joined at the hip, and it's going to be a healthy competition. I'm talking Drew Brees, Doug Flutie type competition, where it's all about learning. It's all about navigating. Get that stuff out of your head, what happened to you in Chicago, because you're above that. You're better than that. You know, it's going to be more of a Magic Johnson, Dr. J thing. Like when Dr. J invited Magic out to his house in Philly, had dinner with him. He stayed over the house and he chilled out. He watched the game from Dr. J's house. That type of thing. And I don't think this is a competition per se. I think Russ is your starter, barring injury. But Justin Fields will be your quarterback of the future. Mark my words on that. So, Midnight Rider, before we get to what they need, your rebuttal, please.
No, I mean, so at first, when I first, at first blush, I thought that this was going to be a competition. And then as the reporting came out, and actually I said it on another person's post, because I couldn't remember whose post I put that it wasn't going to be a mentorship. So I was trying to backtrack to retract my earlier statement, because I got more information. So I had to go with the information I received. I got to talk to one of my buddies that is a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And he kind of gave me the lay of the land and the thought process behind it. So I had to, yeah, I had to eat a little crow on that. But the situation is still, we got to ask Chicago what you're doing. Because Chicago had an opportunity, because they came out and said, if we move Justin, we're going to move him early. That's what they said. And then they proceeded to sit on this, let everything else play out, let the market get suppressed. You know, you had Mac Jones go. The second Mac Jones got traded for a six, took all the air out of that balloon that Chicago was going to get a second or a third for Justin. And I think we're also getting to a point now where teams are going to be okay with letting go of their first round mistakes at QB. So this is why the guy has to play right away, is because in 2 or 3 years, you either shoot, they're letting these guys go. Fields gone. Mac Jones gone. You know, Baker had to go through like 3 or 4 teams before now. So we're in a spot where you take the opportunity and then you cut your losses and you start over again. And that's what Chicago's doing now. Chicago's restarting the clock with a new quarterback, like we said they would. So that's kind of where we are right now.
I don't know if I answered the question the right way, but
no, you of course that's your answer. There's no right or wrong answer. This is not a test or a quiz. This is what you
No. What I mean was I want to make sure I answered the question you were asking, and I didn't deviate too far off. You know what I'm saying?
No. You did you got it spot on. Now here's my thing. And we on different philosophies when it comes to young guys. Some guys you have, I think if a quarterback's picked within the first 5 picks, I think that guy has to be ready. He has to be ready to go day one. You know, but some guys that are picked in the first 5 picks, they may need some polishing. They may be rough around the edges. They may be raw. And it's nothing wrong with having raw talent, you know. And I love that saying, yeah, he's good. He's just raw. I love that because it just means they need a little polishing. They need to learn the game and get the speed up. Those are the guys that should be holding the clipboard the first year. They should be holding the clipboard and wearing the earpiece on the sideline, knowing all the lingo, everything. And that's where the quarterback's coach need to be beside him and saying, hey, okay, if you're looking at this, what are you seeing? All right, I see this, this, and this. It should be a quiz every game day. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? All right, now what's your read right here? It should be all of that. They're not nurturing guys anymore. It's just like, hey, go out there and perform. Some guys are not getting nurtured. It's like you're getting the pressure to be the savior of the franchise. But here's the thing. If I'm the savior of your franchise, but this is the umpteenth year that some of you drafted the quote-unquote savior of the franchise, how can I be the savior if the last 15 guys weren't the savior? You keep making the same decisions over and over and over and expecting the same result. I mean, expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. I think Chicago's insane.
All right, but let's think about Chicago's history. I mean, Chicago's greatest quarterback is Bobby Douglas. It's Bobby Douglas, Jay Cutler, Jim McMahon.
No.
Who? Okay, I know. Here we go. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't see. Bobby Douglas, huh? Sid Luckman, man.
I knew he was going to go. I knew this was about to happen.
Like, I had to think about it for a second. Like, hold on. We missing somebody. Hey, Sid Luckman.
What year was Sid Luckman?
Sid Luckman played with the Bears from 39 to 50. And he has 4 NFL championships. 40, 41, 43, and 46. I don't see no other Chicago quarterback that got that many championships. Sid Luckman is your best Chicago quarterback.
You looked at me with a level of disgust and disdain in your eyes and in your heart for a guy that played from 1939 to 1952. Like, I should have, like, I did him a disservice by not mentioning his name. I didn't even know Sid Luckman played for him, but Jesus Christ, okay, I got you. That's why you're the historian. Giving life to VCRs.
That's like saying, you know, the best running backs for Chicago is Walter Payton, Neil Anderson, and Thomas Jones.
No, because I would know Gale Sayers because at least he played in the 70s.
Okay.
The 60s, like, come on.
I would say the best running back for Chicago, Walter Payton, Gale Sayers, and Red Grange.
Okay. You win.
Okay. All right. Now, back to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Chicago made a mistake by drafting Fields and not nurturing him. Pittsburgh's not going to make that mistake. Fields is coming into an organization that is set up to win. One thing about Pittsburgh, they can tell you, they have a way. And if you do it the Steeler way, you're guaranteed to win. Since 1969, they've had 3 coaches Each one of those coaches has won at least one Super Bowl.
Okay.
Now, of course, Noah won four, but still. But if you notice, every coach has had their own, you know, they've had their guy at quarterback. Noah had Bradshaw. Cowher, once he got Big Ben, they were off and running. He had his guy in Big Ben. Tomlin does not have his guy. Tomlin has never had his guy at QB. Kenny Pickett was supposed to be his guy. He came on later in the season, but he didn't have it enough. So, but Pittsburgh is going to do. They're going to do right. Matt says Steelers have done a lot of good in free agency. A bit surprised by getting Fields, but it was a steal. It was.
Well, let's think about Russ is on a 1-year deal for $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So your quarterback of the future or your quarterback for 2025, it's crazy that I'm even saying 2025. I feel like I should be meeting George Jetson, his boy Elroy, daughter Judy, but and Jane, his wife. I'm sorry. I didn't finish that off for you. But, yeah, it's just like when we get to this point, 2025, maybe that's when Fields takes over. Maybe Fields takes over because Russ struggles. And like week 8, week 10, it becomes his team or Russ gets hurt. But because Russ is on a 1-year deal, we know at least for 2025, Fields is in the arena to help them make things happen. Ooh, I like this comment by Matt.
Yeah, Chicago is another team that appears to have no plan, just flying by the seat of their pants. I agree with that. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But it's been like that for quite some time.
I think Chicago has a plan. The problem is they weren't able to execute what they wanted. Again, this market, the way it came out, the second Mac Jones got traded for a six, it completely destroyed their plan. I think their plan was, oh, we can get value for Justin Fields. And then once they went to the combine and realized that nobody's valuing Justin Fields at the level that they think, they had to come back with their tail between their legs and figure out what's next.
Now, looking at Pittsburgh and their needs, cornerback, tackle, inside O-lineman, linebacker, and D-tackle. Here's something that I thought about, and it's crazy because it's only Pittsburgh that this works for. If you look at certain teams, then this is a great contrast. Look at Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh history over the last 30 years. Look at Chicago's history over the last 30 years. Chicago has had some really, really great defenses in the last 30 years. You know, those cardiac defenses that will win in the last second with Mike Brown winding up in the end zone to win games in overtime or as time expired. Pittsburgh, if you notice, Pittsburgh has continued the tradition that started in the 70s.
All right.
You know, you had a Mike Webster as center. Then you come into the 90s, the late 80s and the 90s. Then you got a Darmani Dawson. Then you got a Pouncey. It's like you have guys that fill in spots and you like, yeah, he's a part of the line of greatness. You look at their linebackers. Pittsburgh has produced some of the greatest linebackers. And some guys have come there to play linebacker, have played exceptionally well. You know, if they were already good, they became great when they got to Pittsburgh. The late, great Kevin Green, Greg Lloyd, LaVon Kirkland, all those guys. If you look at Chicago, Chicago has turned into the Midwest Washington Redskins. Whenever Chicago does something, all I hear is that press conference. I think that was Serrato. We know we're doing. We got it all under control. Don't panic. That's what I hear. And that pains me because it also makes me smile because it lets me know that Washington is not the only dysfunctional team in the league. Now, with Pittsburgh and what they need, Pittsburgh has never really had strong corners over the last 30 years. But if their safety tandem is top tier, their corners, they could put me in the Ben Knight Rider at corner and be a top defense. Trust what I'm saying. When your safety, when your safety tandem was Carnell Lake and Rob Woodson, who were your corners?
Okay.
I'm saying, who were your corners? You don't remember the corners.
I don't remember exactly who the corners were at that time, but I get what you're saying. Like, your thing is your safeties make everything else better and allows you to do some things. When you have Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety right now, you have T.J. Watt and what's the other? Alex Highsmith as your edges. I get what you're saying.
Don't forget Cam Heyward in the middle.
Exactly. So in saying all of that, I think if they go corner, they're gonna go down to Clemson. And Clemson has this kid, Nate Wiggins, who's if you put him on the other side of Joey Porter Jr., and Joey Porter Jr., the last probably 5 or 6 weeks of that season last year, really came into his own as a shutdown corner. As a disruptor. And if we can add another guy into that mix, that could be interesting. That can make life really difficult. We talked about the center from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson, as another person. You know, maybe they solidify center because they just got off of their center. Mason, I think it was Mason Cooper's their center, or Mason Cole. Yeah, Mason Cole was their center last year. And I know for a fact that the people in Pittsburgh, when I say people, I mean my boy, Tim Watkins, was ready to move on from that center. So that's another situation where they can get that. I don't worry about Pittsburgh taking a wide receiver early because they can pick a wide receiver wherever. And because you have a guy that used to play the position as your head coach, Mike Tomlin, it's amazing how their receivers, while in Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say it this way because it has to be said this way, while in Pittsburgh, they're impactful players. But when they leave, they don't always leave and still stay the same person.
That's true. Antonio Boone says, Jaden Daniels is the best QB in this draft, in my opinion, and he's coming to D.C.
You know, I don't know if he was around for the list, but he would have seen the list. The list was Michael Penix Jr., Jaden Daniels, all season long. Not all season long, but they were 1 and 2 for a good stretch and a good portion of the thing. And I don't disagree with him. The only thing, again, like I said, I say it in my QB list. The only thing that scares me about Jaden Daniels is he's a stunt man. Like, he has no regard for his body. And you saw that when he jumped into the arms of the middle linebacker from Florida State and got, like, belly-to-belly suplexed on the field. That's the only thing that scares me about Jaden Daniels. I think he can make any throw. I think he's another one of these quarterbacks that, like, people will always discount these quarterbacks, you know, from year to year, but you got to also understand their talent. He had Darby and Ayuk, his first 2 years at Arizona State, and then their receiving core fell off the map his third year. So that's why he struggled. You got to have talent. You know, there's a reason Drake May struggled last year, because the NCAA wouldn't allow Dontez Walker to play. They jerked him around with his eligibility, and that's why you got struggles from May. It always happens. Again, Brian Mitchell says quarterback is the most dependent position in the sport.
Well, who touches the ball every play on offense?
The center.
And who else?
The quarterback.
So, but I think the in my opinion, you give your opinion. I think the Steelers go offensive line here. That way you keep Russ upright. Keep him clean.
All right. And that's why I said the kid from Oregon, the center, because I think this is a spot for him where he can help keep the quarterback standing upright. You get somebody that hopefully can man the position for the next couple of years. I mean, let's think about center is another spot with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's almost like the Packers in that regard. Like Packers QBs, Pittsburgh centers, right? Because you go from Damani Dawson to, what is it, Pouncey. You know, you get these guys that keep the lineage going. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's Damani Dawson, yeah, Pouncey, and whatever, whoever else they have.
It was somebody in between Pouncey and Damani Dawson.
Right. I stopped to try to think about the name, and I wasn't going to try to figure it out. But you know what I'm saying. Like, they mm-hmm. have these situations where they get these guys, and those guys, they're not there for, like, a year. They're there for 5, 6, 7 years, and they're synonymous with the quarterback, and then you just move on to the next person. And that's what I mean. So that's why I think they go with the center from Oregon, because they have a very true need at center.
I agree with that. Next up.
This is the tough one.
Los Angeles Rams. You are now on the clock. Their needs are as follows. Cornerback, edge, safety, kicker, and cornerback. That's your top five needs. I don't think I've ever seen kicker as a need on a draft board.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But of course, we know that's not going. I mean, unless you're Sebastian Janikowski, I don't think a kicker's getting taken in the first round ever again.
I think, quite honestly, the greatest first round pick of all time. I'm being facetious.
I know you are. Like, I didn't even know what to say after that. I was just like, all right. So let's go back to that list. What was the give me again?
Yeah, you gotta add defensive tackle to that too. Cornerback, edge, safety, kicker, quarterback.
All right, so let's try to do it this way. So I think this is a spot where we started talking about, and this won't be the first time we mentioned him, because this kid is going to be in this range, right? The edge rusher from Florida State, Jared Verse, he's going to be in this mix. So we're going to say his name a couple times, probably starting next week. We're going to say his name at least two more times, if not three. But he's a guy that is in this mix of players that could possibly come off the board in this scenario, in this spot. Another person you got to think about is, what's that second need again?
Second need is edge rusher.
So we took care of that. Didn't you say cornerback?
Cornerback. Yeah.
So this is where we started talking about, again, we can talk about the kid that we just mentioned, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. We could talk about Quinya Mitchell, the kid from Toledo. You're going to have options here. So that's another place where they may go. You're not taking a linebacker at all, because, again, we're talking about linebackers way down the road. The tackles, we mentioned them earlier, the kid from Illinois. Johnny Newton's probably the next best guy in this scenario. And, again, is it going to be a person that gets taken in this range, in this window? So that's pretty much where we are, I think, in this scenario. Them trying to get somebody to help their ball club. If I'm making the pick and it's my choice, I think if he's there, I think I take Newton to try to start building or trying to replace the legacy that is Aaron Donald.
Speaking of which, if you've been under a rock for the last couple of days, Aaron Donald retired after a 10-year career, Super Bowl champion, quite possibly one of the most dominant in this generation. No, the most dominant in this generation. Here's a question for you. And the boss BJ said they need Aaron Donald. Yeah, they do. Here's a question for you and everybody that's watching. If you had to talk about greatest defensive players of all time, is Aaron Donald top five?
So he creates an interesting dynamic to the conversation, because he's an undersized D tackle that nobody, well, not nobody, but people weren't sure about him
when he was coming out, because he probably should have gone higher than he went in the draft. If you had the hindsight information beforehand, he wasn't going to make it to the Rams, but he did. Top five defensive players. I think he makes an argument. I don't know if he's there, but I think he makes a damn good argument. Because I saw a graph this morning where they had LT, Aaron Donald, and Reggie White. And I know that doesn't take into account your VHS era, but I'm just saying, just that was one of the things that they brought up in this this conversation on Facebook.
I mean, you talking about VHS era. I mean, if you're going to say, when you bring out the words all time, it does not go from now to 1960. Or 1970 or 19. No, we're talking all time. This league has been around for 104 years. I'm going to give you 104 years of history. So if we're going to talk greatest defensive players, you got to talk about Deacon Jones. You got to talk about Mean Joe Green. You got to talk about Paul Krause. Okay. So that's already three to go with Reggie White and LT. You know, I got a lot, but I mean, top five, I think he should be in the conversation. Don't know if he's there yet. James King says top 10, not top five. Either way, and I'm going to ask a stupid question. This may be a dumb question, but 5 years from now, does he get a gold jacket?
Oh, easily. I mean, there shouldn't even be a discussion. They open those talks. Who we put in the Hall of Fame in 2029, I guess that would be. We like to start with the second person on the list because Aaron Donald is number one. Let's start the conversation there too. Like, I think that's really how it goes.
See, I got to disagree with you because you always trying to put all these people in there, and I don't think he had a great career. No, I'm just playing because he says I always put everybody in the Hall of Fame. So I got to disagree with him, but I agree. James King, you're right. Prime, that's another one. So
actually, I think it's him one. Actually, I think you started the conversation at three. I'm sorry. I'm being disrespectful because I think one and two are Aaron Donald, and then Jason Kelsey's too. Because he also retired this year, and I think he's another one of those people that's an automatic lock for the Hall of Fame. I mean, being an undersized center, I think he probably weighed 280, maybe at his peak, 290. And the way Jason Kelsey moved his body and moved around at the center position, I don't think anybody else has done it and may not do it any better than he's done it.
Here's the thing about Jason Kelsey. Jason Kelsey just a great human being. He absolutely is. And somebody said I think you said that about starting a show of just him going around tailgating with different fan bases.
Why not?
That's a show right there. So if y'all see that on online, or y'all see a show like that pop up on TV, remember that they got it from here and tell them to cut us our check, because not only will they owe us money, WWE owes us money, AEW owes us money. Like, we owe so much money, man. If put it this way, each one of the sideline junkies could retire for the amount of money and residual income that we would get from our ideas. We wouldn't have to work. What you doing on Monday? Going to the mailbox and grabbing my check? That's all I got to do. I digress. Looking at the Rams, I'm reading this on NFL.com. It says the uncertainty surrounding 2023 fourth-round pick Stetson Bennett's NFL future could press the team into again using a day three pick on a quarterback position. What's going on with Stetson Bennett, sir?
So Stetson took a leave of absence because if everybody remembers, Stetson had an incident
when he was at Georgia, right before he left Georgia, drunk in public. So his drinking problem has reared his ugly head again during his professional career. And he had to just walk away from the Rams. And I thought, and I still think, that Stetson Bennett in 2 years could be the Rams starter, depending on how he handles his recovery. And I think the Rams will try to find somebody later on. There's a kid from Tulane that they keep talking about. And so for some reason, somebody tried to press him into the first round. That's not going to happen. But there are quarterbacks out there that fit Sean McVay, or Sean McVay can get the most out of. So I'm not worried about that. I mean, we've seen McVay and Shanahan get the most out of guys like Duck Hodges, C.J. Beathard, and things like that. So I'm not worried about the talent level or the guys they end up with at the end of the day, because I think they can – their way of operating with talent, they can make or get the best out of anybody. The guy that I'm – yeah, I'll leave it at that, because I have another comment, but I'll save that for later on. Because it's off topic. It's off topic.
James King says, Mawai is the best center for me. And Mawai is a Hall of Famer.
Yep. And he's first ballot.
Mm-hmm. He was when he was a Jet.
Yep.
He was my center for a long time while I was using the Jets. I always tried to re-up him for 7-8 years, turn the salary cap off, give him all the money he wants. I got to keep this cat.
Yeah, Mawai. And the Jets had a nice little run on centers, too. Mawai, Mango.
Mm-hmm. Mango out of Ohio State, correct?
Correct, sir. Ding, ding. Winner, chicken dinner.
All right, last but not least, what you eating today?
So before we go there, there's a guy that was released by the Raiders out of the University of Clemson, Hunter Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do, we just saw the impact that Puka Nacua had with the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what this guy could do in Vegas when he had somewhat decent quarterback play. I think he had like 80, maybe 90 catches in the season. So you want to think about guys like Zach Robinson, who's the OC in Atlanta. You want to think about Kyle Shanahan. You want to think about what's the Callahan kid that just got hired in Tennessee?
That's Bill Callahan's son. Geez. Is it Brian Callahan?
Yeah, Brian. So let's put those three teams on the top of our list as places that if, because I think if Hunter Renfro goes back to any one of those three coaches, he has a renaissance. He gets back to being who he was. I think Oakland's offense failed him the last 2 years. And it may, some of it may have been in his health as well. So be ready for that. So what you eating?
Well, hold on. Matt says show idea. Top first round pick of all time for each team. Ooh. Where's the book? Oh, man.
So are we saying, and let's get clarification, are we saying the best player that each team is taking in the first round? That's going to be interesting.
Is that all time? Yeah, he said all time.
Okay. Oh boy. He's just trying to kiss up to KG because he wants to come back on and do a hockey show or something.
He said all time. Yeah. Look. Matter of fact, what's the Tuesday before the draft? We might knock that out Tuesday before the draft or something.
Nah, because more likely we're gonna do a mock on that Tuesday.
Okay.
So maybe we do it Sunday going into that Tuesday.
That works for me. That gives me enough time Sunday to go
with the picks. And I'm snowballing this. Sunday with the picks, you get Tuesday with the with like either our mock or whatever we do where we officially kind of make picks. And then Thursday we kind of do the draft show itself.
Yes.
That's the only way that's the way I see it. And we can always, again, spitball that and work that out when we get there.
Of course. So, what you eating? You go first, because I don't know.
So, today's menu, at lunch, we're featuring handmade burgers, maybe a little smash burger style with it. I think we have pepper jack cheese, and I think we're going to go with that. Top with whatever. I know the kid's probably going to top his with a little mumbo sauce. I think I'm going to top mine with a little A1 sauce and maybe a little mustard. I don't know what the operations are. If we got yellow mustard, I might go yellow mustard this morning or today. Our evening snack or dinner is, I think we're going to do, we've got like some chicken chunks that we get from the aisle. Instead of grabbing like chicken pieces, like instead of grabbing thighs, legs, and wings, we'll get them chopped up, the chopped up chicken breasts. I think I'm going to go with cooking that in the chicken broth, adding in, because I got some grape tomatoes, so I'm adding some grape tomatoes, use the chicken broth, maybe even throw the rice directly into it, and maybe simmer it for like 30 minutes, and add in my peppers and all that stuff. I don't know if I have rosemary or not. I don't think I do. But if I have some rosemary, maybe drop a piece of rosemary in that and make it work.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. I may order out today, order dinner for the family. May do Silvestri's, spend $50.
Ooh.
Do some Silvestri's.
That's my spot.
Yeah. Get a whole chicken or something for the family and some rice. That may be it, because I'm not going to ask my wife to cook, and I don't feel like cooking, so I'm not going to ask her to cook. I want her to relax herself, put her feet up. I really, really wish, and I'm supposed to do this soon. I got some sauerkraut over at my mom's house, and it's in the freezer. So I'm going to do sauerkraut and smoked sausage one Saturday that she's not home, because I got to go to her house to cook it. So I got to take my pots over there. But yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing.
And you know what? Shout out to James King, because he helped me not cook yesterday. So I went and got a pizza like we talked about on the WrestleMania. I don't think we talked about on WrestleMania X. Did I tell you the story?
No.
Oh, story time with the Midnight Rider. Here we go.
wait. You're important.
No. I don't need that. I don't need all that. So yesterday, we go to Mello's house, get their haircuts. Boom. I get some money as I'm leaving. And I'm like, oh, we got to get a pizza. Right? Let's get a pizza from the place Romeo's. It was a place right there by Mello's house up in Odenton that does a pretty decent pizza. You know what I'm saying? It's way better than like the Domino's, the Papa John's. Whatever. I'm not gonna say it's great New York pizza, but it's a good adaptation in this area. So we're leaving Mello's house on 32, heading back towards the city, and I'm like, oh, I just gotta turn around. Right? Let's just make a U-turn and get back on the highway going the other way on 32. And I wasn't thinking about it. So I hop on the exit that says NSA off of 32 is like one of the last exits before you get to the Beltway exits. And all I thought was going to happen is I was going to take the exit. There's going to be a spot where I can U-turn out and go out the other way. Well, let's say, lo and behold, that wasn't an option. The only thing I could do was go to the gate. When I get to the gate, there's a nice police officer. And he's like, what's your purpose here? And I was like, sir, I was just trying to turn around and make a U-turn. Before we even get to that part, when we take the exit, Josh looks at me and is like, yo, dog, what are we doing here? I was like, what you mean? He was like, it says restricted area. I was like, yeah, but
I mean, there's got to be a spot. U-turn at least. No, sir. We go to the gate. Officer says, hey, I need you to make a left up here and see the officer on the other side. I was like, okay. All right. So we pull over to the other side. Officer comes out, gets my ID, writes up a report because he's like, we have to document any cars that come in the area. Now I'm thinking, ah, damn, I'm going to get a fine. I'm about to get a ticket. The way he's writing this thing out, I'm getting a ticket. And all I want to do is U-turn and go grab some pizza. Lo and behold, the guy's like, hey, look, you can't do this, blah, 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 blah. Just go ahead and get out of here. Here's your information. No fine. So I'm winning off the field. Went back, got the pizza. So I'm still winning off the field. And then got home yesterday, and we used the pizza for lunch and dinner. And then shout out to James King, because he gave me a couple pieces of fish from the fish fry on Friday. And I used that also. So, yeah, good to go.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. See,
if I'd have been riding with you, all I had to do was pull out my ID and we could have went on.
Oh, okay.
So,
unfortunately, you weren't, bro.
Yeah. All the bases in the area and restricted access, just pull out that ID. There you go. Oh, all right. Have a good day. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had a little fun yesterday morning, you know?
Get to these last couple of comments. Matt says, Renfro being cut hurts me. Raiders have freed up a lot of cap space. As far as what you're eating, Matt says, going classic Irish, corned beef, and cabbage. Ooh, that sounds good. Noodles. Ooh, that sounds good. The boss BJ says, as long as it's not relish juice.
Here we go.
I you know what? What did I have? I got a story. The other night, what was that, Friday night? I wanted something to eat. I said, you know what? I got some steakums. I got some eggs. So took some steakums, chopped them up real good, had some sub rolls, put on the sub roll, put an egg on top of it. I was like, all right, I don't want mayonnaise on this. What do I want on this? I put chipotle mayonnaise, garlic aioli, brown mustard, and Italian sub dressing. When I tell you, that probably had to be one of the best steak, egg, and cheeses that I've ever had in quite some time. And I made it, and I was like, wow, I surprised myself with this. So, yeah, creations. James King said that show is going to be long. Just think here. DG, ST, Sammy Ball.
Daryl Green, Sean Taylor, Sammy Ball.
Mm-hmm. James King also said tomahawk steak, shrimp, and Brussels sprouts. Ooh. Now, here's the question.
James can cook, dog.
How you going to cook the Brussels sprouts? Are you going to saute those with a little olive oil? Are you going to bake and wrap them in oven fry them?
James can cook, so it's going to be interesting.
Oh, see, he need to be around for this what you eating thing on Sunday. He need to be around an awful lot, because when you don't have any ideas, somebody come up with a comment, like, right now I want to go get a head of cabbage because of Matt. Now I want to go get Brussels sprouts because of James. Like, young. I want to go get some daggone fish, but I digress. Matt says, love Lito's when they're yes. You know what? We might do, if Lito's ain't too expensive, might do a Lito's pizza. I don't know. But, oh, he said, what kind of base was it? It was NSA, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. NSA. Here's something about Lito's that most people don't understand, that most people don't know. If you've never ate inside of a Lito's, please do yourself a favor. Go sit in a Lito's and eat. But don't order pizza. They have a Southwest steak and cheese that probably has to be number two. Jiffy's is always going to be number one, but that probably has to be the number two steak and cheese in the area. And it's just absolutely delectable. So, here's the boss BJ with his relish juice. And James King said, roasted. Ooh. Roasted. Mm, roasted. Roasted. Mm. Bacon with sauce and pecans. Ooh. See? We got to get up out of here because now I'm hungry. Matt said, I like our Brussels sprouts and some olive oil, salt roasted, and then some balsamic for the last 10. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to this show, yes, we delve into food from here to there. And it's beautiful because you get different ideas. And most people don't understand. We are food connoisseurs, so we can create, we can reheat, but we also know where to get some good food. But the boss BJ is out of pocket with this comment. Jiffy's equal homeless food. No, that's just because you don't know how to do it right. You go in there and they don't know you. So that's what they give you. Go in there with me and you'll see how you get treated. You get treated like a king. You go in there, you get your whole steak and cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, extra mayonnaise, double fried onions, pickles. Cut it in half. I want to order a large order of fries. And I want a large birch beer with light ice. That's it. And they got the birch beer with the old Fanta joint with the white and blue joint. That's how you know it's good. And James King said, don't sleep on Brawlers for steak and cheese. Brawlers, where's Brawlers?
That's in Arlington.
All right.
We can make it that road trip. Arlington is pretty good. Like, Arlington has Brawlers. Lost Dog has a great steak and cheese, but it's not really called a steak and cheese. It's called something else. Al's steak and cheese, of course. Mario's. So, yeah.
You talking about Mario's on Route 1?
Well, I don't know if there's a Mario's on Route 1. I go to the one on Wilson Boulevard.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. No one next to BK Miller's.
That's in Clinton.
Yeah, it's a Brawlers. I haven't been down that way in so long.
We gotta find that. There's another spot out there in that area, a joint called This Is Seafood. And like when I saw their plates was like they didn't cheat you on food.
No, I picked up from there before. Yeah, that's vicious. Marco's on Wilson's is the GOAT. Used to be Hog on the Hill. Is that Hog on the Hill on New York Avenue still open?
I think so. I think my coworker talks about that all the time.
And my mom used to go over there and get rib tips. And she'd be like, yeah, I'm going to Hogs on the Hill after work. Thank God. Because she'd bring all these rib tips in there, man. Shh. Beautiful.
I see now I'm going to have to go upstairs and act like I'm on Chopped. And trying to create me a delectable dish after talking about all this food.
Yeah.
And all these different toppings.
You got to get in there and go
create. I feel challenged.
You got to go in there and get creative.
Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been What You Eating segment with the Sideline Junkies. Thank you, everybody that commented. This is beautiful, man. This is beautiful. We'll be back on Tuesday with... first and second round picks. Hopefully we can get through the whole tournament this time on one show. So because Thursday it's going to be an abbreviated show because we got basketball to watch all day. So until Tuesday, happy Selection Sunday to all. Hopefully if your team is on the bubble, their bubble does not get burst. James says Mario's on Wilson.
Oh, I know what he meant.
Your basket ingredients are.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get like sometimes, and that's funny he even said that because when I was at my other place, like I'd go downstairs and I have one thought process, like, oh, I'm gonna make this. And I get down and you start going through what you have in the kitchen because you didn't pick up this or that. So now you gotta
You gotta make it work. You gotta make it do what it do with what you got.
And let's not forget, happy St. Patrick's Day to all. So if you are out on your bike tonight, do wear white and get you some green beer. My wife said, get some green beer.
All right.
So until Tuesday, we don't do no overtime, y'all. Thank you all for joining us. We are out of here. How the heck do we get